here with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new study in the British Medical Journal explores a relation between eating ultra-processed food and certain types of cancer. We're going to talk about what the researchers discovered, but first, let's check in on the progress toward our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive goal this hour. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with my colleague, Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy, programs like The Morning Show. Support from people like you is the single largest piece of the budget. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Well, we're at the beginning of progress because we have a new goal for this hour. We're looking for 15 pledgers during this hour. And thank you to everybody who's been giving so far. It's been a great membership drive. We set these goals up each hour to make sure that we're on track and that we have the money to pay for the programs you rely on.
So let's meet this hourly goal. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you'll want to give now because, in addition to funding the programs that you love, your donation of any amount gets you entered in the drawing for a $500 grocery gift card.
So you hear us saying public radio all the time. Well, what is that? Well, most simply, it means that public radio is listener-supported radio.
And while we do appreciate business contributions, we do appreciate federal and state tax dollars, it is listener support that is the single largest source of funding for WPR programs. Your contribution of any amount really matters right now on a Friday. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Support the programs you love on the Ideas Network right now and get a cool new WPR t-shirt. It's a two-toned orange design on a dark gray shirt, and it shows how Wisconsin is at the heart of everything we do. Ask for it with your gift of $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Picture yourself cruising down the aisles of your favorite grocery store with $500 extra dollars to spend. That could be you. You'll have five chances to win a gift card to a grocery store near you. So what would you buy with an extra $500?
I would buy buckets of olives, green, Kalamata, those two.
I need a lot of gluten-free items. I would love that. That would fatten me up in no time.
I would probably end up buying beer and candy, but my wife would make me buy meat and vegetables.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with WPR Director Mike Crane. We're here asking for your support during this winter membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
So it's Friday. You know, you want to have a week where you've accomplished a lot while supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do, and it really takes just a few minutes of your time because we need just a little bit of information, your name, how to contact you, how much you'd like to give, of course, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories. It supports the programs that keep you connected to the world. So give right now on a Friday morning at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 15 pledges this hour, and we need your help to get there. So help make WPR possible at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs that you love, your pledge of any amount gets you entered into that fabulous drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. We were chuckling earlier there when we heard what our coworkers would possibly do if they had something like that land in their lap. You will have five chances to win. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And all of you beloved sustainers out there, we love you and you are automatically entered.
David from Stevens Point says, listening every morning as I get ready for work and making a pledge. Thank you, David, for that pledge. We'd love to hear from you, too. It's so easy to get in touch. Make a monthly donation or one-time donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift is powerful. It truly makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. A new study published this month in the British Medical Journal looks at ultra-processed foods. Yes, we're talking about you chicken nuggets and fries. They're seeing some association with an increased risk for certain types of cancer. The data set comes from looking at the medical records of about 105,000 French adults, mostly women. We're talking about the study and what place processed food has in our American diet this hour of the morning show. Dr. Noelle LeConte is an oncologist who specializes in cancer prevention issues. She is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. LeConte, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this study in the British Medical Journal had very, not delicate language, but very careful language about using the word cancer mm-hmm. and ultra-processed foods together. What was your reaction to the study? What did you get out of it?
Yeah, just to back up on the intro, so in addition to the medical record review, they had participants do very detailed food diaries multiple times over many years. So that is the right way to assess dietary intake. Asking people, what did you eat last week, is really unreliable, and the medical record almost never would have this level of detail.
Mm.
We've thought for some time that processed foods and ultra-processed foods, which I can talk about what that means, might be a risk factor for certain cancers, in particular colorectal cancer and breast cancer. And that is indeed what they found here, was that the rates of all cancers together and breast cancer were increased if you were in the highest intake group of these ultra-processed foods. I think the reason they didn't see an association with colorectal cancer is probably just a sample size issue. They didn't see as much cancer as they were expecting. But the trend was there. So I think with maturity of this data set, we will see that colorectal cancer also is associated.
Oh, so this research will continue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. So they've got multiple other angles that they're going to look at, including specifically which foods. You know, they've been lumping all the ultra-processed foods together, but it might be that one is worse than another.
Help us parse that out. What is the difference between ultra-processed food and processed food?
Mm-hmm. So there are criteria for unprocessed, minimally processed, moderately processed, and ultra-processed. Ultra-processed is food products that contain chemicals or other substances that are not normal culinary products. So, you know, the simple way to say that is, if you don't know what it is on the label, then it's probably ultra-processed.
And the word is very long.
It usually has five or more ingredients. It's usually something that's shelf-stable in the grocery store, so in the middle part of the grocery store, not, in the produce area or
along the edges.
And it tends to be stuff like sweetened beverages, you know, sodas, candies, beef jerky, like that kind of food.
So do products have to have any type of labeling that they are ultra-processed? Or
No, not currently.
Mm-mm. Not currently. Okay. What do you take away from research like this when you see it in the British Medical Journal? How do you take that nuggets from that research and bring it to your patients?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the best kind of study that's been done about food choices and risk of cancer. We will never be able to conduct a trial where we randomly assign people to eat only ultra-processed foods or only unprocessed foods. So this is probably the best level of data we're going to get to understand the effect that food has on our risk for cancer. As an oncologist, you know, my main goal is everything in moderation. So I use this kind of study to inform risk reduction for my patients or people who are concerned about cancer. So if you're concerned about the development of cancer, maybe you'd want to avoid these kind of foods, for example. On a broader population, basis we think about it for things like these concept of food deserts. Mm-hmm. People who live in areas where they can't access unprocessed foods very easily, even if they wanted to, and how that affects risk of cancer.
You mentioned colorectal cancer, mm-hmm. but they also found some association with breast cancer.
Yep.
What do we know about that?
So what they found was in postmenopausal breast cancer, there was an increased risk if you ate a higher amount of these ultra-processed foods. In this case, that group was about 30% of their diet was ultra-processed foods. They did not see the same with premenopausal breast cancer. And they saw a trend for prostate and colorectal cancer, but it didn't meet what's called statistical significance. And again, I think that's more of a sample size issue. If you look at, so they broke it down into four quartiles.
Mm-hmm.
People who ate the lowest amount of ultra-processed foods had the lowest rates of these cancers. People who ate the most had the highest amount of these cancers.
To me, that's eye-raising when you see statistics that 50% or 60% of the American diet is now to ultra-processed food,
yep.
or in the UK and Canada,
yep.
is now up to 50%. And you're seeing that they see some correlation at the 30%.
Correct.
That,
yep.
that can get really scary really quickly.
Yes. Yes. I mean... It's a convenience factor, right? Often these foods are easy to get and we all have busy, hectic lives and it's, you know, you throw it in your purse and you kind of forget about it and you eat it a couple hours later. But yeah, I think this is kind of a call to action for us to be a little more mindful about what we're eating and how we're eating. And clearly home cooked stuff is going to be the best way to go from a cancer prevention strategy.
There were beverages that fall into the category as well, sugary products and drinks,
mm-hmm.
Also fats and sauces under the list of processed foods. Do all processed foods create the equal amount of risk, or are there, you know, specific things, or is it, you know, what are there different even categories in that?
Yeah, there are some processed foods that don't increase your risk, and those would be things that have what are called minimal processing, or they're processed using things like salt, so natural culinary ingredients. Where I think we see this association is stuff like hydrogenated oils, chemical compounds, artificial flavors, artificial colors, artificial sweeteners. So not only regular sodas, but diet sodas were associated with this risk too. Basically, you want to try to eat the food that's closest to real food as possible.
Eat closest to what is being grown or picked off a tree,
mm-hmm.
or what have you.
Right.
Cost is also an issue. The
yep.
price of food today. You talked about food deserts posing yep. a significant barrier for people who are trying to balance good nutrition with it being affordable and accessible. Can low-income Americans afford a diet that does not include processed foods?
Maybe not. I think so. A food desert is this concept that, and it's usually an urban environment, usually poor, where you live in a community where it's very difficult to access grocery stores or high quality foods, farmers markets, that kind of thing. And usually in those same communities, getting these processed foods or ultra processed foods is much easier. It's also lower cost. So this is a way of reinforcing how poverty compounds health concerns and the development of cancer in particular. It's a policy issue. One effort I've seen is to encourage people within these communities to open their own grocery stores, that has a really strong effect on health in these communities and should be something that hopefully policymakers could get behind. But yes, it's a very big problem.
Has a study like this that was published in the British Medical Journal, this is a study that's been going on for years and years.
2009, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there is a long time in coming for what is going to be coming. The study is not ending anytime soon. Do researchers view looking at food, and especially processed and ultra-processed, as something that will change and evolve through time, that there is still more to learn?
Yeah, I think I sort of liken it to the organic movement. So 20 years ago, we didn't really even think about organic food as a healthy approach or really think about it at all. There was one kind of milk, and you just bought the milk. Mm-hmm. But with understanding of risks of pesticides and other things, endocrine disruptors and that kind of thing, the demand from consumers really drove what was available and what is being produced. And so I think, you know, as we all eat food, we can leverage that that dollar to really see what we want to see in the grocery store or at our places of work, you know, have access to farmers' shares and farmers' markets and that kind of thing.
Ultra-processed foods are a growing part of the world's diet. A 2016 study in the British Medical Journal found that 60% of the calories in the average American diet come from this kind of food. We're talking about ultra-processed food this hour, gathering your questions at 800-642-1234. Oncologist Noelle LaConte stays with us. She specializes in cancer prevention issues. She's an associate professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. We'll get back to the conversation in just a bit, right here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about ultra-processed foods this hour. A new study found that people who eat more ultra-processed food have a higher risk for cancer. Before we delve deeper into the conversation, let's get an update on the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. I'm here with my colleague, Mike Crane. At WPR, listener contributions are the single largest source of funding. Your gift keeps the programs that you value, including The Morning Show, on the air. So make your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Kate, we're a third of the way toward our hourly goal, so we need another 10 pledges in the next about 35 minutes. We know we can do that with your help. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on here on the Ideas Network every day.
WPR programs are listener-powered. They have the energy behind them, and that means that your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. They fuel us, they make a difference, and when you give right now, you'll be entered to win a $500 grocery gift card.
And I hope that means you'll buy lots of unprocessed or lightly processed foods.
Nice. Yeah, good.
That's
good,
right
there.
Every day, our team works hard to bring you a great morning of radio, and that is a pleasure because we know that you are curious, you're intelligent, and you want to understand the world and what you should eat and also all those great things that you learn. We also know that you like to have fun and enjoy all that Wisconsin has to offer.
Thank you so much for being a great audience, and I mean that so much, and for being the reason we do what we do here. And you can give one more thing, your financial support. Your support makes these mornings possible. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's pretty easy to come up with reasons to give to WPR, and I'm going to let Eric from Marshfield speak for us on this. Eric says, "My wife and I typically cannot go a day without listening to WPR. It provides consistent and reliable coverage of all types of news and reporting. Thanks." Thanks, Eric and Eric's wife. And we'd love to hear from you as well, and make sure that if you haven't donated yet, the reasons for giving are just like Eric's, and we'd love to hear from you. Make that gift because it really does make a difference. And don't rely on everybody else to give because you are part of the solution. Maybe you've been meaning to contribute and you just keep putting it off.
Don't put it off. Do not delay. Give right now. Don't wait for someone else to donate. Your membership makes a difference. Your support, it matters. Start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The 2018 WPR t-shirt is a two-tone orange design on a dark gray background. It shows how Wisconsin is at the center of everything we do here at WPR. Imagine yourself wearing the new t-shirt. How do you feel?
I feel like an interesting person that people would want to talk to.
It's like a team t-shirt for something that I really believe in.
I feel proud. Proud of Wisconsin, proud of public radio, and proud of the community that we all create together.
Ask for your WPR t-shirt right now. Find out how great it feels to show off your WPR pride. Pledge $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with WPR Director Mike Crane. We're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs that you enjoy on the air. And whether your pledge is $10 a month, whether it is $100 a month, we absolutely appreciate and count on your gift.
You know, you might be wondering, how much should I give? Well, I'm not telling you. Here's what I mean. You heard some suggestions from Kate just a second ago. And what we really want you to understand is that the gift amount is up to you. We'll suggest $100 a month or whatever, but you choose, because your contribution of any amount helps to turn great programs into the things that, you know, great work happens because of you, and they keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Make your pledge right now in the amount that is right for you. We need 10 more pledges this hour. We have got a half hour to get those pledges to stay on track with these hourly goals at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Your pledge, so important, so critical, and it is powerful. And thank you so much for your support. The latest findings published this month in the British Medical Journal find an association between ultra-processed foods, yes, the Fruit Loops, the sugary drinks, and certain types of cancer. This comes on the heels of a study last year that more of the developing world in the UK and Canada are starting to eat this way. We're talking about this with Dr. Noelle LeConte. She stays with us. She's an oncologist and an associate professor of medicine at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join in the conversation. Ask your questions about processed foods at 800-642-1234. Are they part of your diet? Do you eat them out of habit or out of the taste and satisfaction? Are you hooked on processed foods? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dr. LeConte, you mentioned that ultra-processed food is hyper-palatable. What does that mean?
So I'll read it to you exactly from the NOVA guidelines, which is what defines what's ultra-processed food. So these foods are hyper-palatable, sophisticated and attractive packaging, multimedia and other aggressive marketing to children and adolescents. They contain health claims, high profitability, branding and ownership for transnational corporations. You know, these are things that are not actually normal foods, and they're engineered in a way to make you want to eat more of them.
So we should be able to be on the lookout for these. I mean, yeah, we could be able to see what is being marketed to kids. I mean, it's pretty blatant.
It is blatant. It's, you know, bright, colorful packaging, cartoon characters. And then I think once you get a taste for these as a child, you continue to eat them as an adult.
You talk a lot about moderation with your patients, that you don't have to be completely focused on a raw diet.
Right.
How do you try to strike a balance with your patients and say, you know what, we're human and we're going to eat these foods sometimes?
Well, I think it's all about knowing your risk and balancing your choices. You know, if you're going to have Fruit Loops for breakfast, maybe you have a salad for lunch kind of thing. I think just being mindful of what we eat is going to automatically prevent us from dropping into those very high rates of usage. More broadly, I think as an oncologist, I can advocate for policy changes that I think are going to make these kind of options available to more people, make it the easy choice.
Let's go to Maddie, who joins us from Racine. Hi, Maddie.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering, I've never basically cooked before. What can I do to start changing habits and something and stuff like that?
So you eat processed foods because you're not cooking for yourself. Is that what I'm hearing, Maddie?
Oh, yeah. Like, I find it very difficult. I go to school and I have a son, and it's really hard to just, you know, eat healthy. You know, what's a good place to start?
So hats off to you, Maddie, for even thinking about this. That's awesome. I would say, you know, starting with raw foods would probably be your easiest approach. Salads, fresh fruit, just cut up. You don't need to cook those. That would be a great first step. American Cancer Society recommends we try to get 5 to 6 servings of fruits or veggies per day. That would get you a long way. If you want to take it the next step, there's cooking classes in most communities at places like the Y or community centers that can get you started. There's dietitians in many larger grocery stores now that can be helpful. And you can take those classes too. But basically, you want to focus on fruits, veggies, whole grains, and unprocessed meats, and then unprocessed dairy as well. But it's just a matter of kind of finding a few core recipes that you can rely on and then going from there. You can do it.
Maddie, thanks so much for the call. I know when we all get home at like 5:30 in mm-hmm. the evening, everyone is just ravagingly mm-hmm. hungry, haven't turned on a burner yet or anything, mm-hmm. and it is so easy to reach for that bag of chips. Mm-hmm.
It's super easy. It's super easy, right? I work full-time. I have 3 kids. I get it. I totally get it. Doing this kind of approach is a very intentional lifestyle, but it has a big effect on your risk of cancer. So the people that ate 10% more in this study of ultra-processed foods had 10% increased risk of cancer. That's a pretty substantial number. When we think about cancer, it's not just a single risk factor most of the time. It's your genes, your lifestyle, your body weight, how active you are, your occupation, and the food that you eat. So to be able to adjust that by up to 10% is pretty meaningful. But it is a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
What I often tell my kids is, okay, before you come to me in the kitchen, stop by that fruit bowl, pick up as much as whatever you can,
yep.
eat something, and then we'll talk.
Yep, that's right. If you don't want to eat an apple, you're not hungry, right?
And meanwhile, yep. I'm whipping something together yeah. as fast as I possibly can go.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Raj now, who joins us from Gurnee, Illinois. Hi, Raj.
Hi, kid.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question for the guest here, that is there a group of chemicals that can be kind of, you know, red flag for manufacturers to say that, okay, these are kind of risky, you need to either avoid them or kind of bring something else that are safe for consumption?
Yes. Yes, they have that in the NOVA guidelines. Hydrogenated or interesterified oils, hydrolyzed proteins, soy protein isolate, maltodextrin, high fructose corn syrup. Those would be kind of the immediate red flag ingredients. But basically, the way I think about it, to try to be simple, is if you look at the packaging, you want to see fewer than 5 ingredients, and you want to know what all of those ingredients are.
And these are guidelines mm-hmm. for the company. It's not that, you know, they have to start reconfiguring what is going into these foods.
Well, they don't have to follow these rules at all. You know, they're interested in selling product, not necessarily in preventing cancer. So it's up to us to choose products and create demand for products that are healthier.
Raj, do you have a follow-up question to that?
Yeah, you know, on the same lines, you know, if you look at the flavors and fragrances also, FDA clearly says that just mention what is there in your product. They do not know if the limits are met by the manufacturers. That's the whole problem here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, all food additives like that enhance flavor, color, creating artificial flavors, all of those would be considered ultra-processed foods.
Raj, thanks so much for the call. We've seen recently McDonald's announce that its cheeseburgers and chocolate milk will no longer be included in its Happy Meals, mm-hmm. Which, of course, got a lot of attention mm-hmm. because that's been the staple of their Happy Meals. And it was in an effort to reduce the calories, the sodium, the saturated fat, and the sugar that children are consuming at these restaurants. So with more restaurants acknowledging the importance of health and diet, do you think we will see more nutritional makeovers in an effort to make healthier offerings?
I think so. I think that's a direct response to consumer demand. Parents wanted healthier options. I should note that many non-chain restaurants actually do not serve ultra-processed foods. the restaurant type preparation is actually considered minimally processed. But for chain restaurants, obviously they have to create a lot of their ingredients and ship them out. And so those do fall into that ultra processed.
I remember criteria. When Panera said it was now only serving clean soup.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
right.
And it kind of stopped me and said, so how was it unclean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
But there is that trend out there that these big companies are becoming more aware that it is a concern among their patrons.
Yep. I mean, I think people are getting smarter about this and that we're going to see more and more demand for real food.
It surprised me, too, that canned soup falls on the ultra-processed spectrum. Is that because of the sodium?
Sodium, yep. But canned vegetables don't, so there can also be oils and other stabilizers.
All right. Mm-hmm. We're talking about ultra-processed foods this hour, growing part of the world's diet. And you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. French researchers suggest there is a link between highly processed foods and cancer. They classified foods, including cakes, chicken nuggets, and mass-produced bread as ultra-processed. Talking about these things with oncologist Noelle Loconte from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, you can join in about your approach to ultra-processed foods. Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now let's take a moment here to check in with our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Pledge Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Here with my colleague Mike Crane, you count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support is the single largest piece of the budget here, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Lisa from Eau Claire says, I'm making 2018 about me and what I want. And what I want is to contribute to WPR because it's important to me that I support the things I value and appreciate. And so maybe that's a good reason for you to pledge right now. You've been enjoying this really fascinating conversation about the dangers and risks of ultra-processed foods. It's made possible by you to have these conversations. WPR is listener-supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this hour and many more hours possible.
And we are doing pretty well here. Two-thirds of our goal is behind us. We need five more pledges. Thank you so much if you've already given.
If you haven't, though, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the Ideas Network and the programs you enjoy. As an added bonus, you're automatically entered into a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card, and there are five chances to win.
So maybe your WPR listening is worth $3 a day to you. Then become a member of our 9XM Leadership Circle. Contribute $100 a month. That works out to about $3 a day to support WPR programs.
And that $3 a day is less than the cost of that latte you might be having today. Think about the value you have been getting from WPR in the last year and consider a contribution that puts you in that 9XM Leadership Circle. You'll sustain the future of Wisconsin Public Radio, so make your leadership gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater. I like Wisconsin Public Radio because it has this focus on all things Wisconsin, which is very helpful for learning the culture of the state. And then also, once you're here, it helps you feel connected to the community. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it was easy and I didn't have to think about it. And I knew every month I didn't have to make a conscious choice to do what is right. It just happens. Like, if I am listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this much, I should be giving back to it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Crane. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. That is why your support during this winter membership drive is so very critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it is $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Are you saying to yourself, I'll support the morning show tomorrow? Well, actually, today is your last chance to support the morning show during this membership drive.
So make that pledge right now. Don't delay. Join this great community of people coming together right now to make great radio. It is not ultra-processed, by the way. This is a community of people coming together for great conversations every day. It is wholesome. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. A new study published in the British Journal, British Medical Journal, looked at the medical records of 105,000 people. It basically hinted that the more ultra-processed foods that people ate, the greater their risk for cancer. With that statement comes a sizable caveat. A lot of caution is being expressed about the study, but experts said a healthy diet is best. That is airtight. We're talking about ultra-processed foods and this study with oncologist Noelle Loconte. She is an associate professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about balancing your diet between healthy and fast? Is it hard? Do you find yourself searching for a microwave meal because it is just so fast? Join in, call in, tweet us at WPR our mornings. Let's go to Lisa in Janesville. Hi, Lisa.
I am so happy to be hearing this conversation. My husband and I have a 14 and 16-year-old, and we have always taught them about eating healthy, minimally processed. When we would take them shopping, we would see how we shop on the perimeter of the store. We would always have the rule, we never buy anything at the checkout because it's processed junk food. The biggest battle, of course, is, you know, they say, oh, all of our friends get to have it. And it's a, you know, my concern is your health, not your friend's health at this moment. And hopefully as more people learn about this, they will start making better choices and eating healthier and understanding the impact that food has on our body. So thank you so much for this conversation.
Lisa, thank you for the call. And it sounds like there is a lot of passion out there to get the word out.
Yep. I think there are people who, you know, as an oncologist, for years and years and years, I would hear families and patients say sugar causes cancer, and we never really had definitive proof of that. And I think we're starting to build that evidence base that food choices do matter. Yeah, I think Lisa's right on the right track. I just want to put in that plug again that sometimes people who are poor or live in poverty don't have the option of eating less processed food. So that should continue to be our call to action here, too.
Let's go to Angela now in the Milwaukee area. Hi, Angela.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I have long believed, I read a book a long time ago called The Safe Shopper's Bible, and that's been a guideline for me on making sure that we are not eating foods with that are processed with a lot of chemicals, dyes, colors, the FD and C's in them. And I'm wondering if there's been a link that's proven for the colors and the dyes that are in a lot of our foods that have been used to color them. And then I'm also wondering if you could briefly explain what you mean by processed dairy and if soy proteins are a concern. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. So I think the first question was, what do we know about food dyes and additives, flavor additives? Those are all lumped into these ultra-processed foods. So we know that that group of foods causes or increases your rate of cancer. We don't know anything more specific than that. That's what the investigators are hoping to explore as this data set matures. The average patient or participant on the study was only 40, and so age being a strong risk factor for cancer as this cohort ages, we probably will get more information on that.
Angela, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Chris now in Mineral Point. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I like to make homemade noodles, and I'm trying to use organic wheat flour, but every recipe I find also calls for all-purpose flour. And I'm wondering how all-purpose flour works into this, whether it's a good food or a bad food, et cetera, a highly processed food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is not considered an ultra-processed food, so you are perfectly safe in making homemade noodles there.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Good news. Yeah, there's a bit of good news there. Chris, thanks for the call. Paula is joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Paula.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I've been a registered dietitian over 30 years, and I so
thoroughly agree with everything that this study, you know, what I've seen through my practice, the people just don't eat, quote unquote, real food anymore. But I also just wanted to make a comment. I love to tell patients I work with and clients that 80-20 rule, you know, 80% of the time, if we can all be striving to eat these real, wholesome, real foods. But I sometimes have heard almost a scare tactic, and unfortunately, I've heard some parents, maybe their kids, you know, if I eat anything with sugar, I'm going to get cancer. So, you know, I think maybe also just looking at that, occasionally having a treat, 80-20 is maybe a good thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. Totally agree.
Well, 80-20, break that down a little bit. What does that really mean?
So 80% of the time you're eating not ultra-processed foods and you allow yourself some wiggle room 20% of the time to indulge in these foods. I think the point Paul is getting at is then when people go on these very prohibitive diets, what we tend to see is when they fall off the wagon, so to speak, then they kind of go way too far in the other direction. So allowing yourself a little bit of indulgence here and there. You don't lose all the health benefits of the healthy eating, but you do avoid kind of these binge episodes.
You were an author of a study on looking at how drinking alcohol is linked to cancer. Mm-hmm. Can you break down that study?
Yep. So I'm part of the organization called the American Society of Clinical Oncologists. It's the largest organization of cancer doctors. So it's about 40,000 members. And we wrote a statement around the risk of cancer from alcohol. We found out that only about 30% of people are aware of the association. So we used our statement to raise awareness. And then we also made some policy recommendations, supported some policy strategies to reduce drinking as a means of preventing cancer. And then we also made a statement against pink washing, which is this concept of branding things pink, alcohol, branding alcohol pink, usually in October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, to raise awareness about the fight to cure breast cancer, but while selling a product that causes breast cancer, we don't think that makes a lot of sense. So the real news of my statement was just that we really got behind these policy statements, but we also reviewed the literature around the seven cancers that are caused by cancer, by alcohol
by
use.
Alcohol. Yeah. Let's go to Marty now in Janesville with a question. Marty, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm a label scanner, and frequently I run across the term natural flavorings. What, pray tell, is that? I'll listen to your answer off air. Thank you.
I don't have any idea what that is.
Natural flavor.
I would guess that that's probably not something you would want to necessarily take. The additives that are considered perfectly safe would be things like salted butter, added vitamins or minerals, iodized salt, vinegar, made by fermentation of wine. So those are the ones that are known to be safe. Also, molasses, sugar from cane or beet, honey, vegetable oils, crushed from olives or seeds. Beyond that, we don't really know what would... Everything beyond that is considered somewhat processed.
What more research do you think needs to be done in the area of looking at the links between alcohol and cancer?
Well, in our statement, we really need to understand, once you're diagnosed with cancer, what effect does it have to continue to drink? Should we be counseling our patients to stop drinking, cut down, keep drinking? You've already got the cancer. It doesn't really matter. And for many people, cutting down on alcohol use is a difficult lifestyle change. We also need to understand the best way to screen cancer patients for alcohol use and what to do once we've identified people that maybe want to cut down. So we have a pretty good sense of alcohol use as a risk factor for developing cancer. But once you've developed cancer, what do we do from there?
And as we start to wrap up here, what are you watching for as the literature evolves, as the research comes out, as an oncologist? What are you keeping your eye on?
And as far as nutrition goes?
As far as nutrition and the studies out there linking diet and cancer.
Mm-hmm. I think we're trying to untangle the effect of exercise separate from the food that we eat. I think the two are probably separate. We are definitely looking at these processed foods and how much is okay, what types of processed foods. Probably there's some that are better than others. I'm always interested in looking at broad population studies about disparities in cancer. So we know that non-white patients do worse. They get more cancer. They don't live as long. So how does food and exercise fit into that equation.
And of course, when you do eat ultra-processed foods and a lot of it, weight is going to have an impact. And of course, obesity and cancer, there are some links there.
There is a link. I would point out in this study, the people in the highest intake of ultra-processed foods were the thinnest. So I think obesity is a separate issue from ultra-processed food intake. But your point is well taken that these are very calorie-dense and it's easy to get overweight if you eat a diet high in them.
Well, Dr. Locanti, thank you so much for joining us today in studio. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Dr. Noelle Locanti is an oncologist who specializes in cancer prevention issues. She's an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. This hour of the morning show was produced by Nyasia Ellison and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. We're checking in and hoping you can make your pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Mike Crane. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs that you enjoy on WPR. In fact, listener support is the single largest piece of the budget, and this drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Boy, what a fascinating conversation we've heard this hour with Dr. Locanti and talking about ultra-processed foods and the effects of alcohol on maybe causing cancer as well. Just fascinating. And it's made possible by listeners like you because WPR is listener-supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then take just a few minutes in your morning to make your pledge.
And let's see how we are doing. We need just two more pledges to make this hourly goal. We can totally do this. You and your friend, you and your coworker, you and one more person. Your gift right now, so important. Because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
Thanks to everybody who's already given. But if you haven't, the time is now. Help us get that goal by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you make that pledge, you're automatically entered in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You have five chances to win.
Sustaining members provide vital and stable support for WPR. And if you're already a sustaining member, thank you so much for your ongoing support. And if you aren't a sustainer yet, become one right now.
It's really easy to do. You just make an ongoing automatic monthly donation from your bank account or credit card, and it's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you will feel really good every time you listen, knowing that your support is current.
We tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio for shows we all know and love, but WPR is more than radio.
I am Andrea Anderson. I'm an online news producer. We work closely with reporters across the state to create something that they're proud of that's online, that people can go to WPR.org and read, and it's really an expansion of what people hear on the radio. We have a lot of different diverse content that comes onto WPR.org on a daily basis.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's more than radio. And when you give, you're a big part of what makes it all happen.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with WPR Director Mike Crane. We are asking for your support on this Friday during this winter membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Yeah, if you've never given to WPR before because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, please think again. Listener donations make up the single largest portion of the funding for WPR programs. That doesn't mean we're asking you for a huge gift.
It's gifts from thousands of people combined together that make up the single largest piece of funding for WPR programs. Many first-time donors give $10 or $20 a month for their WPR listening. You decide the amount that works for you and then join this team effort. Join the village with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kate, two more pledges to go, two more minutes to raise it so we can get to the end of this hour successfully. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such an important part of making the programs you enjoy possible.
In addition to funding the programs, your pledge of any amount gets you entered into the drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. We'll pick five lucky winners. Sustainers, by the way, you're automatically entered into the drawing. And if you're not a sustainer yet, sign up right now, quick and easy, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Sarah from South Milwaukee, who says, I'm giving for the morning radio today. Terrific.
Awesome.
Love to hear from you as well. Support the programs you care about. And while you're at it, you can show off your WPR pride by asking for the 2018 WPR t-shirt when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much for your support. You're listening to the Ideas Network.